What is up, crew? TGIF. Welcome to Firearm Friday. Tonight we're going to be talking Beach and Tactical. So let me throw a couple of links out there. I'll chunk the link out on the YouTube side real quickly to Beach and Tactical, as well as over there on the Gun Channel side. Let me drop that down. Make sure I'm in the right chat room. Yeah, I am. So there we go. That way, in case you have questions or whatnot, you can follow along. Well, speaking of the Gun Channel side, I always like to drop that link as well over on the YouTube side, because Gun Channels is, of course, the a better place to hang out. A little bit less congested, I guess you could say. Chat room over there, and that chat room certainly seems to be jumping. Esparta over that way. Dog Body, Gunsnop, Gizzard, Grand, DB Cooper, DT Pfeiffer, Mr. White, G Webs, looks like all hanging out over on that side. So, reminder though, if you're over there on that Gun Channel side, use the live chat in the bottom right hand corner. It should work out a whole lot better for you. And then we're, of course, live over here on the YouTubes as well. Looks like the notifications are going out. The room's starting to fill up. We've got a known user out there, the Kingpin, Gunsnob, Mr. Rich White, the Rocker, Ozzy Osbourne in the house. Seven Wonders is out there. Andrew is out there, as well as Gizzard Gary. Looks like Miss Ashley joining us as well. And and maybe a few others. So let's do a couple of things really quickly, too, before we dive in and start talking all things Beach and Tactical here. Those couple of things will be to grab the link for the website, clovertac.com, just to get that out there in case you're not familiar with the various platforms we're on or stuff like that. You're not just locked into YouTube. You're not just locked into Gun Channels. You can find the content, not necessarily live, but at least in replay, on a lot of different platforms, including Spotify, iHeartRadio, all of that good stuff. And with that, we've got a couple of folks in here that you should be familiar with, going to kind of help us out tonight as we're grilling Jacob with Beach and Tactical. But we got Mike in the house. What's up, Mike?
Not too much. Need to get some sleep. Didn't sleep too good last night. Been running around all day. Had a great day. A little excited, but now I'm just happy to be here. And let's talk some gun-related stuff.
Heck yeah. And Ghost is in here with us. What's up, brother?
Not too much. Thanks for having me. I'm really interested in Jacob. You know, I heard he's got an 11-point sling, so I'm really interested in finding out what the hell that's all about.
All right. Is that anything like the 11-point plan that most politicians have? That's same sort of deal there, I wonder. So, without further ado, let's bring in Jake. Jacob, what do you prefer to go by?
I don't know. Whatever people like call me by, I go by both. I don't even recognize the difference anymore.
There you go. I understand. Well, if you would, I guess, start out, where's Beach and Tactical out of? If I can keep from getting tongue-tied with the phrase Beach and Tactical, but where are you out of?
I'm out of Brownsville, Kentucky. It's a south central Kentucky little hick town right out of Bowling Green, just the way I like it here. Not a whole lot else out here besides Beach and Tactical.
Gotcha. Now, y'all getting any rain? Are y'all getting anything from that hurricane that came through? Are you far enough away? You're okay.
We're far enough away. We're just getting the cold front, so I'm really enjoying myself.
Yeah, that's probably the same cold front we got here in Texas a couple of days ago. So, yeah, really enjoyable. If you would, what I'd like to start out with, I know you talked about it in pre-chat there with Mike and Ghost a little bit, but if you would, maybe fill us in a little bit or fill the viewers out there, listeners out there in, on some of your background and how the whole idea of Beach and Tactical came about.
Absolutely. Well, to start out, my middle name is Beach. So Beachin has been a part of a lot of the things that I've been involved with. Beach and Tactical, the concept behind it started in 2009 and 10. I was deployed in Logar Province, Afghanistan with the 173rd Airborne as an infantryman and scout. And I wasn't happy with my issued two-point sling. Of course, every part of it was S-rolled and duct-taped and useless. So like everybody else, I bought a one-point and was even less happy with that eventually. It was an expensive one-point. It ended up breaking, and instead of applying the warranty, I threw it in the trash. I wanted something that was really, really simple. I ended up going slingless for quite a while. Really simple, intuitive, had a quick release, but I could still transition and adjust really, really quickly. I wanted something that adjusted in the center of the sling, unlike anything else that I was finding on the market. And that's kind of where the speed sling was born. But it didn't really come to fruition until I got out of the military around 2013. I was working hard under the table on a farm, got $80 together to make myself a sling, and showed it off to some friends and some friends on some forums, and they really liked it. And Beach and Tactical has kind of started. So I've been official now for about 3 years.
Okay. Now, from the time that you got the materials to, I guess, make what would be considered the first prototype of that speed sling, Was it a one and done, or was there some tinkering around, some obstacles that you had in making it work like your vision was?
Oh, there were a lot of obstacles. In fact, I have my first sling that I ever made. I can't tell you how proud of that thing I was. I mean, I thought it was just the greatest thing since sliced bread. Now I look at it, it's kind of embarrassing, to be honest. So I used to do solid paracord slings. I was selling them for dirt cheap, and it'd take me like 3 to 4 hours to make one. And they were heavy. They weren't very flexible. And the first 2 years before I became official, there were a lot of changes. I got a lot of slings out to guys who got some extensive use on them out in the field and on deployment and stuff. And so my measurements on the sling haven't changed a lot. They've changed a little bit, but they've been pretty consistent. But my how I've made slings from that first prototype has changed drastically. They've become lighter, more flexible, more comfortable, quicker to make, more customizable. Basically, I don't like to say that I make paracord slings, because there are a lot of great paracord slings out there, but as a shooter, I find paracord slings to be gimmicky. So my first priority was to make slings that are functional and I believe superior in design. The next step was comfortable, and the final step was customizable, and that's where the paracord came in. And I've got six colors of Cryptek, Multicam, Pencot, Atax, and then I've got a myriad of solid colors, different colored buckles, and a whole wall of paracord. So basically, I can match anything and everything. And that's, I think, more so, I want the foundation of this sling to be the operation, which is, I think, truly unique. But a lot of people come into the operation of it second, and they buy it for all of the colors that I can do, because they go to my website and they literally pick out every single color of everything that they want and make something completely unique. So, I'm really proud of being able to keep my quality where it needs to be, do all of the work and quality control myself, and still be able to offer that level of customization.
Right. And you're absolutely right. From my experience anyway, I've got a couple of solid paracord slings and they're absolutely gorgeous. They look great in the rack. They look great on the shooting bench. They're all of that good kind of stuff. But as far as functionality, you know, a sling has multiple purposes. It's not just to carry it over your shoulder. And you try to get a wrap, you know, on your forearm or something like that with that paracord sling, there's just no give, you know, with that. It's not flexible. You're right. So yeah, that's really interesting. Now, as far as, getting the weight, you said getting the weight down, the flexibility, other things. Now, was that a change of materials you were using or a type of material that you were using, or is that how you accomplished that?
Well, what I did, I used to make my slings adjust in the center through mil-spec webbing. It's mil-55301 Cordura nylon webbing. And then the two main sections of the sling on either side of the center were solid paracord. So what I've done, part of the idea has always been that in a life or death emergency, since I am a survivalist, that you would have paracord. But if you used the paracord on one of those slings, you'd have no more sling anymore, right? So now what I ended up going to is the webbing goes all the way through end to end. The paracord is woven around the webbing and it makes it lighter, more flexible, but the paracord itself actually works as padding, which is really nice. It's actually very soft and supple and keeps the rifle where you want it really well. But then in an emergency, if you've got to use your paracord, you still got a sling. So that was a big change for me. All of the changes from that point have been really, really minor.
Right. And that is, I'm guessing that's Feed Sling. That's your flagship product, right? That's the big boy.
Yeah, I've got some other prototypes that I'm working on right now. And actually, one of my really good sellers is a sling for like bottles and knives for the survivalist. That's a really big part of what I do. But at the end of the day, the Speed Sling is what makes the bread. So I'm always trying to branch out with pouches and everything else. But they just never do as well as my Speed Sling, probably because I feel like the Speed Sling is my most iconic and best product. But what I'm working on right now, I do want to have a little more variety. So I'm working with some guys out of Tactical Response personally, and we're going to get some really high speed pistol slings for ARs and stuff. And that's something I'm really excited about.
That's interesting, and that's I guess that's just down the road for me, pretty much, isn't it?
Yeah, that's my go-to.
Right. It's good to have that feedback from sources like that. Want to take a quick minute just to throw it out there and say that all questions are welcome. So as we're talking to Jake here, by all means, throw those questions out there. We will. Yeah, we'll get those copied down. We'll get those asked. The Gun Channel side is easy. Just ask the question, and we'll be able to pick up on it. The YouTube side, sometimes they get lost. So best way to do that is going to be to tag us in that if you have a question. And you do that by typing the @ symbol and then our screen name. You can use either mine, Mike's, or Ghost, their screen name. And we'll be happy to get those questions in. With that, I want to turn it over to Mike here for just a minute and see if he's got anything to add or ask.
So how's it going for you, Jacob?
Oh, it's going well. It's going well. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, no problem. So now I was in the military, so you was in the military, and we both was in the Army. Okay?
Yeah.
And a lot of people might laugh at this, but when I was overseas and deployed, and I'm not a big fan of slings. So I had a soldier pretty much did the same thing you did, but he didn't come up with a fancy webbing like you did. He just came up with a quick, easy design. It was a bunch of tape, made a sling. Yep. So I saw it, I liked it, and I was like, hey man, make me one. And then next thing you know, the whole squad pretty much had one.
That's awesome.
Did that encounter take place with you?
No, I actually, so when I started thinking up ideas for the sling, I didn't get to make one in Afghanistan. And when my one point broke, I was on the tail end of my deployment, and I did the rest of my deployment without a sling. And I'm a little bit weird in that I do like a sling for 99% of my time in the military, which is the suck fest and walking. But then when it actually came to doing stuff, I didn't want to have a sling, which was an important part of the speed sling, was being able to get up and out of the way. But so once I was already on the tail end and the one point broke, I was like, well, screw it. I'm just going to go without for a while.
Okay. I mean, it happens, you know.
Yeah.
I was the same way. Like when I was over there, whatever took place, I don't want to really talk about that incident, but my sling gave out. I didn't have a sling for a while, and I didn't like the conventional sling that they gave us in the military. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So I had a wolf hook for a little bit. Sergeant Major saw it, chewed me out, so then I had my soldier make the sling.
Nice.
So, yeah, so outside of the sling, do you do multiple variations of a sling, or is it just the one flagship sling for you?
So my main deal is the speed sling. Like I said, that's my flagship sling. I have one other sling called a baldric, like I said, for bottles or knives or other stuff. I used to do a one point, but what was irritating to me, first off, I spent a lot of time designing the one point and a lot of time making it, but I'm not a big one point fan. I just got so many requests for it that I felt like I had to really put my best foot forward in designing one and offer it because that's what people wanted. But although everybody said that they wanted a one point and every YouTube reviewer asked me for one, I'd ship them out. And every person that was like my buddy wanted one and I'd ship one out, they didn't sell. So I've cut that, but I do want to, that was the on point sling, the on point one point. I do want to diversify, and that's why I'm working on kind of this next project, because although I think that the speed sling is the best solution for 80% of the problems, everybody's different, everybody's looking for something different, and I do realize that that you can't have a single solution to any problem, and I want to have some variety there. So that is something that I'm working towards.
I'm with you. I'm with you. Makes sense.
Awesome.
So now my final question to you would be, now I know you do the sling, you said you do one for the cup. What other, how else is your product lineup set up?
So basically I've got right now two types of slings, the speed sling and the baldric, which is for the water bottle or knife or kit. And outside of that, I've marketed a few shirts that sold all right. One said Beach and Tactical in real big letters. It said, I hate communists. That was pretty all right. But so I tried dipping my toes into the apparel, but it was kind of expensive. I do a Sear pouch or R&R on my YouTube channel. I work a different concept from Sear called R&R, and I believe it's a mindset of a prepared civilian for recon and resistance, which I believe will be the primary tactics and mindset necessary for the partisan fighter. And so the SEER or R&R pouch is part of that, kind of blending survival and tactical. But, you know, that's, most of what I'm doing right now. So basically everything outside of the speed sling has been dabbling.
Can I make one suggestion before I pass it over to the next?
Yeah, go ahead.
Absolutely. Right.
Okay, so you're making a pouch. Have you thought about making a pouch for a tourniquet?
I have. There are a lot of good tourniquet pouches out there, and I haven't wrapped my head yet around doing one better, you know?
Right.
So in general, one of the things that I'm working on being self-taught is how to work quickly. And one of the reasons I'm struggling with the pouches, I make these R&R pouches. They're pretty easy to make, but I'm trying to learn how to make pouches more efficiently as well so I can make more designs, because that takes a lot more time for me, because it's not my bread and butter. And so I see more pouches in my future, but it's a hard deal.
Right.
I got you.
Now, since Mike brought up that R&R pouch, before we jump over to Ghost, I want to touch on that just for a minute, because that's something that I have been looking at since I've talked to you that interests me. That primarily, I mean, that is, what is the use that you sell that for primarily? Is that to carry a fire starter? I mean, it's big enough for, it says, an Altoids 10, basically, right?
So the reason that I sized it for an Altoids 10, for one, it's kind of universal, because there are some off-brand Altoids 10s that people buy, and I want them to be able to fit as well. I like everything to be tight. I don't like any slack anywhere. So whether you get a little bit different sized one, I want everything to still be solid. But the reason that I like the Altoids 10 is you can put a lot of different stuff in here. Whether you got your 9-volt battery with your IR flasher and a whistle and a little saw, or you've got a fire kit, or you've got a boo-boo kit, or an actual blowout kit. The Altoids 10 itself is a survival tool. You can make your char cloth and do some other stuff in it, or keep emergency medical that you've created in it. Whatever else the case may be, the tin itself can become a survival asset. And one of the things that was really important to me in this pouch, and the reason that I am making them and having them made, is they're universal. You can attach it by Molly. You can attach it by these paracord loops on the edge. You can attach it to a belt. You can attach it to a seat belt. So whatever a person wants to put in their kit and wherever they want to store it, they'll be able to do it. You can put it anywhere and you can put anything into it. So it's very modular, and that was important to me. And, what I want to do is the things that I see in my everyday life and I use in my everyday life, when I see something is lacking, that's usually when I come up with an idea of how I would make it better for myself. And that's kind of what I want my product line to be based on, is not making everything that I can sell necessarily, but really selling myself and the things that I feel that I can improve.
Right. Now, with that R&R pouch, does it come with a tin, or you supply your own?
Normally, it does not come with a tin, but right now I am doing a special sale on ones that come with a filled tin, and the products in the tin are supplied by Dragonfire Tinderbox. Okay. These are some really good bushcraft people and friends of mine. They put together a phenomenal natural tinder kit. And so that's what I'm doing at the moment. When this special run runs out, they'll most likely be sold without tins, although I would like to have some beach and tactical specialty tins to include.
Yeah, that would be kind of neat if you had your own, a company logo or whatever tin.
Definitely.
Maybe something down the road, of course. But yeah, following up on what Mike had said about the tourniquet or whatever, that's you could purpose, I think, that pouch for many different things depending on what you wanted to do. So
definitely.
Yeah. Now we've got a couple things out here. G-Web's over on the gun channel side is pointing out that your sling is with, and I'm not familiar with the VTAC padded sling. But he says that you're within $10 of that, and yours is the pads on yours is dual purpose. So
right.
plus on that side. Ghost, you want to jump in here real quick?
Yeah, I've got a few questions, actually two for me and then one from the chat, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. My first question is, I'm actually one of the guys that that actually likes to utilize a sling for stabilization when I'm shooting my ARs and all that. But most of the paracord slings that I've used over the years have been extremely rigid and not really the most functional for me to use as a stabilizer. It sounds like to me that yours is going to be a lot more useful with it has a sling inside the paracord, but was it designed to be used as a stabilizer or was it just a, you know, what was the actual design purpose of it?
Well, the first purpose of the design is to comfortably hold the rifle on your body, whether front or back, and to maintain control of the rifle when you're not using the sling. So, my problem personally with the 1-point, and a lot of people don't like them, but I don't, is for me, the first purpose of a sling is to hold the rifle when I'm using my hands. That is the purpose of a sling. So if it can't do the number one purpose of a sling, then I don't care what else it can do because it's not doing its main purpose. But that was, so my primary goals were to have the sling, I know on the podcast people won't be able to see this, but to have the sling out of the way when you don't want to use it, to have the sling be comfortable when you are using it, but also since it is much less rigid and very comfortable, yeah, that's exactly what I do, is if I'm working quickly, I will just hold the sling up against the hand guard to tighten it up, to cinch it up, but if I'm going for a more stable shot, I will wrap my arm around it and really cinch it in and bring it in. And so that's something that, like you guys are saying, I couldn't do with the original solid paracord slings. And so definitely a benefit of the newer design. And before I went to this design of the slings, they were called actually a light sling, which is kind of funny since they're lighter now than they used to be. But when I transitioned from the light sling to the speed sling, that was definitely one of the things that I was looking at, was the ability to wrap it around your arm. And now, actually, if I'm shooting while standing without a sling, I do feel not as good. Definitely I naturally go to pull the sling around my forearm to tighten it up. And if I don't have that sling, it feels unnatural.
Right. Now, along with the prepping / survivalist side of it, obviously, the paracord can be used for a lot of different functions. With the amount of paracord that it will take to cover up a sling, about how much for the guy that's a survivalist or prepper in the, you know, SHTF side of things, how much paracord, maybe feet-wise, would there be available to someone if they had to pull that off the sling and be able to utilize it in the field?
You have two 18-foot sections, so a total of 32 feet, and they all do have the guts in them. So it's all 7-strand paracord.
Wow, nice.
That's awesome. My third question was actually answered. David Bowling asked if he liked to use a sling when shooting, so he answered that one in that previous question. So I'm good to go.
Kingpin out there also had one that, you know, when we get veterans on, they tend to ask these, but he says your favorite and most hated MREs.
Huh. Is that to me or everybody?
That was to you. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we've already answered all those. So
my answer is going to be way different than everybody else's. So I gained 55 pounds in Afghanistan, even though we're always out on mission, because my gym partner was my battle buddy. I spent every second with this guy and we were always having eating competitions, but the only MRE. So we typically were out on an OP. We could eat 2 MREs a day, but nobody would eat the veggie omelet. Right. So I had to, it was high in protein. So I had to find a way to like it, which I did. And it became my favorite because it had good sides. It was high in protein and I could eat as much of it as I want because everybody else refused to eat it. So everybody else would eat one MRE a day rather than have the veggie omelet. And I would just, I'd eat like 4, 5, 6 veggie omelets a day. I was putting them down.
You are quite literally the first person I've ever met that said they like anything with an omelet in it.
Yeah. Never met anybody else, but it worked out for me. My least favorite is actually a lot of other people's probably favorite, and it's like the I think chili mac, actually, because there's some spice in there that just lights my butt on fire. So everybody else wanted the chili mac. I'd trade that out quick. And the beef patty sucked, too. The beef patty was just like the most dry crap. And I don't heat up anything except for the veggie omelet. I feel like heating up MREs is for pogues. I don't know. But, man, I just eat that crap down except for the veggie omelet. But if you try and eat the beef patty dry, it's like trying between – even if you put it between the two pieces of bread, it's like trying to eat, like, cardboard with a bunch of grease on it. Yeah, I wasn't a fan of that.
Right.
Yeah, you're definitely the opposite of most people.
Yeah.
Now, We've got G-Webs out there and on the Gun Channel side and a bunch of folks on the YouTube side there. When you demoed the way that you went from loose to tight on that rifle, they kind of freaked out over that. They thought that was pretty cool. So if you would, I'm gonna lock the screen on you. Would you mind demoing that again?
Sure. It might be better if I stand up, if you'll give me a second here.
And for those listening later in the podcast, I apologize, but I'm sure you probably have some videos of it being used, correct?
Yeah, I do. And that's one of the things is you can wear the rifle tight on your back, as tight as you want to, if you're hunting or something, and you can still transition and be firing within 2 seconds. There's just nothing else that can transition like the speed sling. So that's a big part of the sling. So.
Right. All right. Well, I got you locked on. So if you want to, do that,
all right.
Whenever you're ready.
All right. Let's see here. All right. So if I'm going from front carry, low ready, to wearing the sling on my back, I simply pull this around here, tighten it up. And I can easily tighten it or loosen it, whether I'm going uphill, downhill, climbing, or cliff, tree, whatever. But then if I want to fire for whatever reason, just loosen here, pull it around, and I'm ready to go. So, and it's comfortable on both sides because I have the paracord padding on both sides. So that was a big part of this design, and having the center buckle is the flexibility to do what I want, when I want, and no matter what I'm doing, have it be comfortable.
Right. Yeah. And that's what awesome. What I like about it is when you cinch it up, you know, you take it off and you cinch it up. Because if you're storing in a safe or a rack, having a bunch of slings on a bunch of rifles getting tangled up on everything in there is a pain in the rear.
Absolutely.
So that's definitely a plus.
Absolutely.
Very cool.
All right.
So I've noticed you, it looks like, which is, I guess it was a natural progression with the materials you were using, but looks like you have a lot of stuff, for dogs on the site out there.
I do. And, that's actually something I forgot about. They don't sell really well, but, I wanted a multi-cam dog collar for my buddy Jimbo, and I went to PetSmart. Of course, they didn't have anything, but even for the generic Chinese bullcrap they had there, it was still like $30. I thought, what the crap? So, yeah, I started offering leashes, collars, and kits, so you can get at a discount. You can get a collar, a 5-foot leash, and a 3-foot trainer leash. For a bit of a discount, all matching if you want. And once again, you can get it in your favorite camo pattern, or you can get it to match your rifle sling or your clothes or your shoes. So, and it's all mil-spec stuff and for about the same price as the Chinese bullcrap. So
right.
That's something I'm trying to do. I love dogs. And I love my dog, and hopefully I can bring that to some other people as well.
Well, that was my curiosity when I had seen that stuff on it. I mean, it was a natural progression, like I said, with the materials you use. I thought, oh, well, that's a cool kind of a side gig to have with this. But
yeah,
I was wondering, because I've got a brother that hunts feral pig here in Texas, big, owns, you know, multiple dogs, is big into all of that kind of stuff. So do you or your buddy, do y'all do any hunting with dogs or anything, or is it strictly just the accessory market, more or less?
I really wish that I did, but I don't. I've got a blue heeler, and he does a great job at being a companion dog, and he comes when I call him, and he does what I tell him to do. But when it comes to, I mean, he's got zero prey drive, absolutely zero prey drive. He doesn't even know how to play with other dogs. He's just a goofball. So, yeah, that's about all he does is be a good companion.
Right, I got you. Ghost, you want to jump in there with something?
I just said, it sounds like when you were doing the demo of the sling out in the chat, they were kind of blowing up. So I think that you might be seeing some sales come through, because it was, I mean, obviously being a, you know, a sling is a sling is a sling. But right. When you can find something that has multiple purposes and is comfortable and is quick like that to be able to change from tight to loose, That's pretty awesome. I think people were really excited to see you demonstrate that. So, yeah, it's a pretty awesome product.
Now, what is the price point? Just so I've dropped the link out there several times. But what is the price point on that sling?
They start at $55 plus shipping, and that is for solid webbing, solid color. So I've got black, olive drab, coyote tan, flat dark earth, you know, solid colors. And then it's $5 more for the camo webbing, because it's exorbitantly expensive. And then it's also an additional $5, I can do two colors of paracord, which gives a really cool effect. So kind of, you know, I get a lot of orders for an all black or all coyote tan sling, but I get like an equal amount of orders for crazy custom stuff and psycho colors. So, you know, whatever people want to do.
Sure.
And it's like zombie green stuff. clover.
That's what one of the solid paracord I got is zombie green and black. Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
Definitely. So, or, you know, zombie green and black is always going to be a cult, I guess you could say, favorite. And, blaze orange, some little orange life in there as well. So blaze orange and black probably is a good one. And that's the other paracord sling I got as well. It's blaze orange and black. So yeah, I get it. That's pretty cool to have a sling that versatile. And then your customized options as well, you know, get it built the way you want it. So very cool.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. It's that's been the goal. And I'm kind of a person who wants things my way, and I try and make it so that other people can do the same, because I understand the urge.
Now, Mike, is there anything you wanted to jump in with?
I have no other questions right now. I was going through the chat looking for questions to post, but right now I don't have anything.
I think there's a bunch of dropped jaws, I think, more than anything.
I think he dropped with that demo. Yeah, like I said, I am impressed with the price point and the functionality of it. And everything is like well thought out. And I just put in the chat, just told everybody, hey, go to his website and get a sling.
Well, I sure do appreciate that, because like I said, it's my bread. So
right. Now, we could.
Like the fact that obviously it's veteran owned and veteran operated. That helps. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. That G-Webs was mentioning, I mean, you sell a lot of the different connectors or hooks or whatever on the website too, and clips and stuff. I know the G-Webs out there was commenting on the HK clips that you've got over there. He's like, that's an awesome deal for two of those. So
you know, when I found those other companies were selling them for like $25 a clip. Kind of blew my mind, but they're American made, they're mil spec. I offer them a lot less than that. I believe it's $10 for two of them if you get black. But I do Often when people ask me, put a disclaimer on that, and I did a YouTube video on this, try never to go metal to metal, because one of the pieces of metal will fatigue and fail. So I always want to go webbing to metal to connector.
Right. Right. That's a great idea. And then the other thing that strikes me over there, and then I think we'll move on, maybe talk about a couple other things with you here, is the branding that you've got going on. I really like the, you know, sewn on, whatever, stitched on logoing that you have. Have you always had that, or is that something that you eventually just fell into?
Yeah, I've always done that. And before I had my Beach and Tactical logo, though, on the label, I just had the Jolly Roger on there, which was pretty cool. But the motto has always been no excuses, no exceptions. That is my motto personally. And that's kind of how I run my business. And that's the real world. And that's what I want to make my slings for. And I hope that maybe getting a sling in some crazy colors or a sling that works differently or whatever gets people outside and gets them hunting or shooting or training. Because a lot of people will go take a training class or go get outside and shoot because they got a new piece of gear, and anything that gets people out is what I need. And everybody's always got an excuse. We need to get around that. We need to get people outside and we need to get people learned. So yeah, that's always been part of the slings. I think maybe I made 10 slings before I was looking at getting labels.
There's a lot of people out there, Jake, that's saying, you've got excellent products. So, you know, don't price yourself to death there. It's just worth the money. So, well, several of them out there seem to be saying, so yeah, don't, as long as you're making a good product, then, the people will find you. I think it's not a problem. I want to talk a minute, if you would, about this water bottle holder.
Okay.
I was looking at it. Is that adjustable? What size bottles will it accept?
You know, yeah.
That sort of thing.
Well, so it is adjustable. And the idea here is that it'll fit any of your single wall survival type water bottles, that any bottle you typically see a hiker or survivalist carry. It will hold the plastic Nalgene bottles. I might have said that wrong. But my design vision for them was primarily like your clean canteen single wall, because you can boil water in it and you can purify your water and stuff. But being that I was working out so hard, and that's become a big part of my life, water is a constant thing for me. I'm not going anywhere without it. So sometimes throwing a water bottle over the shoulder was really nice. I also use an H&K clip on these because I've got some customers and friends that, for instance, will clip this onto their baby stroller when they're taking their stroller out on a walk or whatever else. So like everything that I do, modularity was really important. I've got all of the colors and they'll fit. I think it's like a 28 ounce bottle all the way up to the 64 ounce single wall steel bottle. So basically, even a really, I think I had a friend who was saying he used it on a really big Gatorade bottle.
Mm-hmm, right.
So,
yeah, that was my curiosity for those that maybe aren't, you know, maybe they hike, maybe they, you know, jog. I mean, there's different things I guess you could do, even bicycle. I guess there's people that do that and are not privy to, you know, canteen, camping style, survival style bottles.
Right.
If it's adjustable to the point that you could use it for something else, if that was your desire.
Right. Yeah, they used to be more adjustable. These will actually work also with the military canteen, but they used to be all the way adjustable, a lot smaller. But although the adjustment was simple to understand, it was complicated to do. And actually, after I started taking pictures of these prototypes, another company came out with a very similar design, and it's more modular. It'll fit more bottles, but it's got like 27 adjustment points on it. So with my speed slings, with any product that I do, KISS always comes first. Got to keep it simple, stupid. And I have some of the best customers on the planet right now, but I do intend to grow. And I know that if I grow, complicated adjustments are not going to be an option for some people. So I just kept it to mostly a full-size water bottle, whatever that means to somebody. Basically, if it's a full-size water bottle, it's going to work.
Right.
With only one adjustment point.
Right. Gotcha. Now, there was something else I was going to mention, but before I've forgotten it now, unfortunately, but that's okay. G-Web's over on the Gun Channel side. I don't know if he came in a little late or what, but he's asking what part of the country. You said Kentucky, correct?
Yeah, I'm in Kentucky now, but I'm not from Kentucky.
Oh, okay.
In case that's what he was asking. I'm originally from Washington State. So okay. Anywhere I go out here, first thing I ever hear is, you ain't from around here, are you?
Right.
No, but I got here as soon as I could. So.
Right, as fast as you could. I get it. Yeah,
yeah. Totally.
So let's shift gears just a second. I think we've demoed and shown the slings and the other things well enough that most folks out there, at least that were on live here and got to see the demo. If you are listening in replay, just hit up the website, Beach and Tactical. Check out the Facebook page and Instagram. You get pictures and all kinds of stuff. But what I wanted to transition into the last few minutes we have here is your channel. What is it? Bunker Preppers, the Bunker Preppers Outdoors. Is that what it is?
Yeah, the Preppers Bunker Outdoors.
There you go. I had it backwards, and I'll grab the link for that. And that makes sense with the prepper talk and the survivalist talk and the other things that you were mentioning there. If you would tell us a little bit about that channel and how that came about and the things you do and that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, the channel really started, I guess, like everything I do, not being happy with what else was out there. And it really started when I got out of the military. I wanted to get more into survival than I was, and a little bit into bushcraft, which was more knife specific than a lot of the things that I had done beforehand. And I'd watch a knife review, and the people would say, this knife is really great at doing X, Y, and Z, and you should buy it. Okay, and basically they were just marketing for some company. And my problem was, it's really good at X, Y, and Z compared to what? What is the standard? What is my bar of measurement? Who are we being compared to? So a lot of my channel is knife focused, and I try and compare knives directly to each other with controlled variables. And I will not accept money from manufacturers because I feel like you can't do that and be
impartial. Yeah.
Right. So I've gotten into firearms too, especially I actually recently just broke my ankle and have found that firearms videos are easier for me to do. And I always thought I'd do more firearms videos. I don't know why I haven't in the past, but I'm doing them now. So we're doing a lot more shooting. But basically, you know, if you've been around any of these genres, tactical, bushcraft, survival, they're 99% gimmick. And really a lot of them are the exact same thing with some different marketing. And so as I learned that, I really wanted to help other people to see that through firsthand experiences. And so that's what I try and do on my YouTube channel, is just talk the truth, whether people like it or not. And it's done pretty well for me.
Awesome. Now, was that started before you got into the business side, the Beach and Tactical with the slings and stuff?
It was started, I think. It might have been about the same time. It was definitely started before I was official, but I never advertised myself until YouTube started showing their commie colors, at which point I decided to pull all of my advertisement when gun channels were being screwed, because I realized that every dollar that I made, they were also making a dollar, and I'd rather not have a dollar than contribute to what they were doing. So I decided when I was going to stop advertising freaking Hillary Clinton or whoever the crap else they're going to advertise on my channel, that I was going to advertise myself. And so, you know, I was like, hey, to my subscribers, hey, by the way, guys, I run this business and this is what I make. All my subscribers were like, what? you have a business? So it's been kind of an odd transition. I guess I only started doing that about a year ago, but I kept them separate for a long time. Only recently have I kind of brought them together.
Yeah, and it's pretty awesome as creators or influence content creators, whatever I guess you want to call yourself. Yeah, it's pretty awesome to see the support and stuff out there that you get a lot of times. So
absolutely,
yeah, that's interesting that it was kind of an after the fact thing for you. Now, yeah. Operant and Axis out there laying down a $2 super chat. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. So just cause I appreciate your show, and we know you do. Thank you, brother. I'm gonna bring Mike in. Mike, you got anything? We can talk Beach and Tactical, or you got anything on the YouTube channel or that sort of stuff? That's perfectly acceptable as well. You got anything?
The only thing is I'm on the website right now and I'm looking at the pouch, and like I said, I'm looking for something to put my tourniquet in so I can pull my tourniquet out of my cargo pocket and put it on my hip, on my belt. And I'm just looking at it, and like I said, I'm just going to order it and just put my tourniquet in it. Hopefully it'll fit, right?
Well, that's awesome, and definitely send me some pictures, and maybe we can make some changes as needed and make that happen.
Oh yeah, we can talk about some stuff offline.
Definitely.
Now, where do you see yourself 1 year from now with Beach and Tactical?
My goal is to be covered up. So I want to have more work than I can handle and start hiring some local people to help me. I'm thinking to do that. I'll have to go through distributorships and start getting more quantity, even for less pay, so that everybody can get a product margin. But my goal is to be really busy making slings in a year. That's about it. If I can start doing more pouches, I have some sniper stuff and some prepper stuff that I have coming up, but you know, I want to be able to put my slings in standard colors on everybody's shelf. Midway USA and Brownells would be great. And then when people maybe want to pay a little bit more and get exactly what they want, then come to my website. That's where I hope I'll be. If that doesn't pan out, you know, I might dabble in the in some other stuff. I'm looking at maybe making a portable coffee truck and get into the food industry a little bit to supplement things. But I'd really like to stay really busy, and I'd like to invest in myself instead of somebody else, if at all possible.
Absolutely. Now with scaling up, you know, when you talk about doing that sort of stuff, scaling up is always a challenge. And I don't want to get too crazy off into trade secrets and things like that, but equipment wise and knowledge wise, do you think you can be comfortable buying equipment or bringing people on to be able to scale up the manufacturing of the slings and stuff?
I think so. The hardest problem is always getting reliable labor, especially where I live. And the thing is that everything that I do is easy, but it's all tedious. So, you know, I need to find someone who's willing to come put their butt in a chair and stay there for 6 hours. That might be a little bit difficult. And I'd also like to 100% hire veterans. So, and I would also like to not be involved with the government and Obamacare and everything else. So I don't know. I won't get all of my desires, but maybe I can hit 2 out of 3. Right. It'll probably be a difficult transition, but I think just got to take it one step at a time and solve one problem at a time.
Right. Ghost, you have anything you want to follow up on there?
I got two quick ones. one funny and one serious. The all first right. one's going to be the funny one. I dabble a little bit in paracords, like bracelets and stuff. I enjoy doing paracord. I don't have the patience to sit there and do a sling probably, but knowing what it takes and does to your hands, how bad have your hands been chewed up doing paracord over the years?
It got really bad. When I was making solid paracord slings, I never had skin on my pinky or second finger. And my thumbs were always had the skin burnt off. Now that I do my new style sling, it takes a lot less tension. And so I don't have the skin problems, but over the past 3 to 5 years, my thumbs have become burn proof. So, it was a bit of transition. It was a little uncomfortable, but body can get used to anything.
And the second one comes from kind of the advertising, marketing, and sales a little bit. The Wanamaker Gun Show is in Tulsa. It's the largest gun show in the world. It's in April and November, and it's 11 acres worth of stuff. Have you ever thought about taking a bunch of your slings to the Wanamaker Gun Show? Because we go there every year and cover it, and there's a massive amount of people. You could probably sell a bunch of them there.
I used to do a lot of gun shows. I am still interested in doing big gun shows and preppers conventions. Oddly, I used to actually be the primary U.S. importer for kukri knives from Nepal, and I'd go to gun shows and sell kukri knives better than I'd sell slings, and I'd go to preppers conventions and sell my slings better than the knives. But I was doing 3 gun shows a month. I was sleeping in the truck, bringing my dog, and making homemade chili to eat the whole time to try and keep my costs down. I blew up a truck doing it. I was doing crazy miles. I'd do 3 days for a gun show, long drive home, and then go straight to weaving slings. And I was about killing myself before I really started focusing online. So where I'm at now, I'd like to do a couple big shows. And I'm not familiar with that gun show, but I'm interested in going to it for sure. But I do not think I'll transition into regularly doing shows again.
Right. Definitely understand that. A couple of things that just want to make you aware of, I guess, because we are talking about the channel and advertising and get the name out there and other things. G-Web's over on the gun channel side. He said that definitely need to get this guy over on gun channels, and I agree. So we go into when we get off air and go into post chat, I'll get you some information on that. But for everybody else on the YouTube side that may not be aware, I'll go ahead and drop the link there. So yeah, definitely go check out gun channels. And another thing, I don't know if you're familiar or not, Jake, with GunStreamer and what's going on over there, but it's basically a pro second YouTube, anti YouTube, I guess, or YouTube alternate video platform. Very awesome. Actually, Ashley, who was out in the chat here, is I think in marketing or the social media marketing side or whatever.
Yeah, social media director, I believe.
Of GunStreamer over there. So just thought I'd throw that out there and mention that you have some alternatives if you're not aware of either of those places. You can go and hopefully get the name out there, not just for the brand, but maybe your channel and what you're doing there as well.
I'd love to do that. I'm currently on obviously YouTube, but also YouTube, Utah Gun Owners. I think that we're in a weird transition phase where people are going to start realizing how much our primary social media outlets suck. And they're going to go somewhere else, and we haven't figured out where else yet. So I wouldn't mind hitting multiple media outlets for sure. Right.
Yeah. Diversity is for sure king. So, with that, we are we're up against the hour here, so I think we're going to start cleaning house just a little bit. Maybe get the heck out of here, get the weekend started. Everybody's probably anxious for that. So let's run it through the room here for plugs or final thoughts, whatever you need to say. Mike, we'll start with you.
All right. So I want to encourage everybody to go check out my website, www.m-wtactical.com. And I did an update on it, whereas you can go on there and it's a one-stop shop for my product reviews, the link to the Black Man with the Gun podcast, a link to CloverTech and his products, and Ghost as well. So go visit www.m-wtactical.com, go to media links, and click on whichever you desire, and check out what's going on with me.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate your help. Ghost, what you got?
It is Friday, so I want to kind of make sure that everyone remembers, like I don't say it 27 times a week, but it is the weekend, and the weather's getting cooler, so it might not be as hot to get to the range. It might be great weather for some people. Get out there to the range this weekend. Become more proficient. Become, you know, more valuable with a firearm as an armed citizen in this country. Take someone with you. Maybe someone who's a beginner or someone who's not sure if they like guns. Maybe if you teach them the safe and fun way to shoot, that might actually become part of our community. We can convert them. So get out there and shoot. While you're out there, go ahead and turn a camera on. Be part of the social media community. We need all the voices we can get right now. And if you want to get dumber and really kind of laugh and really not learn anything, go check out my website with all my social media links, with the podcast, reviews, and videos, www.ghosttacticalproductions.com. Thanks for having me, buddy.
You know, watching a Marine eat crayons is entertaining. I will say that. So,
yeah. Well, that's something.
Right. And Jake, buddy, I appreciate it. It's been a great conversation. Had a good time. Looks like the viewers out there definitely interested. Unfortunately, it won't be nearly as impressive with the podcast side of things for those that might be listening later on. But I'm telling you, go check out the videos, the Instagram, the Facebook, the other stuff, and see these things in action. I think you'll be just impressed as the people were tonight. So I want to thank you for coming on. Do you have anything before we go?
No, I mean, I appreciate you having me. And of course I do both YouTube and Instagram, Beach and Tactical and the Preppers Bunker Outdoors. I really appreciate Ghost's message, and that's what, you know, as part of why we're here. We need to, as an adult, and as an American citizen, you have a responsibility to be armed and take ownership of yourself. And that means being armed. So you need proficiency and you need training. Get out there and launch some lead.
Absolutely. Agreed. Thanks for jumping in with us tonight. With that, there's a couple of things I want to hit on real quick. AA out there, Mr. Armament and Axis, threw down another $2. He said range. And range often. I think we all agree with that, no doubt. And want to mention Gizzard Gary out there. Go check Gizzard Gary out, by the way, if you haven't already. He's on all different types of platforms as well. Gun Streamer, Gun Channels, YouTube, YouTube, GunTube. Did I already mention that? Heck, I don't know. But he's everywhere, the Tactical Chicken. And he's out there kind of pimping my Patreon. And since he mentioned that, want to give a shout out to Sportsman's Guide. Got up this morning, checked email, and Sportsman Guide is the newest CloverTech crew patron over there on Patreon. It was surprising. It was a blessing. It was humbling. All those good things. Amazing to see businesses begin to support creators. I think that it's long overdue, and hopefully we can. Hopefully we can impress them and keep that trend going, not just for myself, but everybody out there. So with that, it is the weekend. It is here. So, yeah, like everybody said, get out to the range if you have time. Definitely spend time with the family, with friends, with your kiddos. Hug them. Tell them you love them. All of that good stuff. If you do go to the range, have fun. Above all else, be safe, and we'll catch you next week. Bye.